on, Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketer! Border Charcoal, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not bob at me, Kenny. Do not bob at me.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 131 of Three in the Box, your underground wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, April 10th. This is Aaron. This episode, we talk about records, playoffs, and
sticks to the face.
In the studio.
Sticks to the
with
face. Is this a metal concert? Yes, it is.
It is Metal Monday.
Stick to the face.
Oh,
stick to the face.
In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And as always, Jive.
Heyo.
And returning from a long hiatus, the original, what we can, I would consider our first real guest.
Yes,
Mr. Tony Dean. How you doing?
Unbelievable that it took me this long to get back. And we talked about. I showed up here, and I was like, I don't know what this thing is, and I was so impressed with your setup, and it's only improved since the last time I was here, and so thank you for having me back.
It's been 2.5 years. 2.5 years, I think, since we had you on once or twice.
Just the once. Which is just a shame. and I totally take full responsibility. I
feel like we've communicated plenty of times since then. Life does happen.
Yeah, babies and houses and
new jobs.
Yeah, and just being an adult. Adulting's really hard, man.
It is.
It's actually not that hard, though. Think about how easy kids have it. They just sit around and do a whole lot of nothing.
Well, no, I have a wife, and she does all the stuff. But I get in trouble for things, or like I have to be places that she tells me to.
It's really, adulting is annoying, more so than anything.
Yeah, no.
It's not hard. It's just annoying.
I'm still allowed in the house, so we're doing really good. That's what I'm saying to you.
I got to try that one on my boss once. Adulting's just annoying.
Well, what can I say?
So, yeah.
All right, so let's get into hockey.
Yeah, we got an action packed show, I think.
Action packed.
Action packed.
Like Action Jackson.
The season starts Wednesday.
It does.
Well, let's talk about last season.
Yeah, let's recap. Let's recap the whole season here in the last week. So last week, I mean, the Wild had a decent showing for the week. Stahl recorded his 1,000th game in the NHL, back at his home ice, right?
No, it was here. But
it was here.
Oh, but against his brother. That,
yeah,
well, his brother, and that was his original,
the team like he spent like 90% of his time
with. Right. He was honored for it, because I think that was technically his 1,000th and 4th game or something like that.
Exactly. But what I really love is during the intro is like, and here he gets a painting of him doing whatever. And here's a silver stick for his 1,000th game. And we're also getting him a all-expense-paid trip to Hawaii. And it's like, okay, now you're just like...
What is this, like an NHL game or The Price is Right?
Right. It's like, is anyone like... Yay, you're giving the millionaire a trip to Hawaii. I'm so happy.
Sure he's... Hey. Money he doesn't have to spend.
I get that, but still.
I also found it interesting that they kept bringing his brother out for all of this, too. Like, and the other Stahl that is currently playing tonight.
This brother does not have 1,000 games. This brother is not the one that we signed to the team. He's still in Carolina, right. Not making the playoffs.
And he has a considerably worse beard. It looks more like someone who... should have stayed in Thunder Bay,
Does Thunder Bay not have good beards? Is that?
I don't know.
Oh. It's pretty. Thunder Bay is very close to Minnesota, so watch what you say, man. They're almost like us up there.
They are,
but they're on the other side of the wall. or lake.
The wall.
They're on the other side of the
lake. Are we building a wall up there now, too?
No, I'm surprised they're not building a wall to keep us out.
Oh.
Let's be honest. I think Canada built a tunnel.
Yeah.
they say that they want what we have, but I don't know if that's true. I think maybe that's just them high-siding us with the PR a little bit.
They just want the good things that we have. They want, you know.
Seems believable to me.
Take some nice samplings. Okay. So anyways, I mean, how do you guys feel about Stahl this year? I mean, was, you know, this a rejuvenating year for his career anyways? I mean, he's been around for a while now. He, you know, he's been kind of, you know, maybe not at the top of his game for the last few years. Was it a great year for him?
I think he's definitely put up, you know, he's played better than he has in the past few years, because he has taken a downward slump in the last two previous years from what he was at. And I think the Wild needed a number one center that they could rely on. Koivu's great. And Aaron, I mean, Pete from Spring Street always said that the Wild don't have a number one center. He's a huge Vancouver guy, but, you know, that's besides the point. But I think having Stahl in there, having like an actual top line center, I think was a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's his most points since 2011, 2012. So it's definitely a rebound year at the very least for him.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's still a number one guy. I mean, but that you can make that argument about anyone on the Wild. I mean, on a really, really good team, you can make an argument that any of our guys are number two guys on any real proper good team.
But we have a lot of those number two.
We got a lot of 1B guys. Like, guys are, like, kind of on the edge, I think.
Yeah.
I certainly think that it's situational, especially with hockey, right? For the last two, three, four seasons, I almost can say four seasons, the thing that I've always written about and tweeted about and contended is that this team was missing a top six center. And so Koivu does a lot of things really great, but he's not an offensive entity. He has offense, but this team was a lot of complementary players looking for somebody that has the game, the confidence, the mentality that they're willing to drive the offense. And so I don't even think, even though he's our top goal scorer, I don't know that Stahl drove the offense. I think what he did was he slotted in really well with this team, and it was a great signing based upon him having down years, him willing to take the money that we could offer because of the salary cap. And then if you look at Stahl coming here, it meant that Charlie Coyle and Mikael Granlund did not have to play the center position, which I would say it hindered their potential.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at Granlund's output this year. I mean, you can't argue with moving him to the wing has changed him as a player. And Coyle, I'm a little less convinced that, I don't know what Coyle's doing, but you can't argue with how Granlund has turned his game around since moving to the wing.
I mean, 79 points? 69 points this season.
Yeah, he led the Wild in points. I mean,
he was in the top.
Remember how
20?
Many people were complaining, you know, last year about him being, you know, whatever.
But I also don't think that those complaints were off base. I mean, you know, this is a guy internationally who was considered the top player, not in the NHL,
right,
before he arrived here.
Right.
And then he arrived here, and he failed to launch his rookie season, and then, in general, visions of Pierre-Marc Bouchard's game were dancing in people's head, where this kid looks to pass every single time he touches the puck in the offensive zone.
But his game before coming here was pass heavy. It's just that people saw the lacrosse goal and thought he was a goal scorer.
Yeah,
and I think that's a little bit of a
misnomer.
I mean, it's baggage that's put on him that really doesn't belong there. I guess that's the way I look at it.
But when you look at a player with his skill set, right, especially offensively, especially handling the puck, he has windows of opportunity because he's able to possess the puck, because he's able to handle the puck that other players don't have. And so when he's not producing goals or even shots, then you think, why isn't there a coach? Why isn't there an adjustment where you're like, you're our future. You're our hope. And right. So if you have these opportunities to take these scoring chances, you have to. And so I think the fans' frustration with Granlund wasn't that he's not a talented player. It's not that he...
Some of them were.
Which is crazy. I mean, that's silly.
But there were a body of people that, you know, thought Granlund was a complete bust compared to... Because he's not a big guy.
Yeah.
You know, people want to see a giant big guy that can punch faces, and he's not that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I see where you're coming from, and I will say, though, I mean, yes, his points, though, and his passing, and that's why he's a setup guy, and that's why his points are where he's at right now. And it's not necessarily all because of goals, but yes.
But he increased all around. I mean, goals are up 13. He doubled his goal production from last year, and his assists are up as well. I mean, he's always been a pretty steady assist guy.
Yeah.
But his goals doubled, and his assists still went up by... you know, 25% or whatever it was.
But I've always felt it's the role, right? And so if you look at this year, his points are up, his production is up, specifically because of who he played with and the opportunities he had to play with them, right? So under Mike Yeo, I think it was really, really important that Mike Yeo helped Mikael Granlund develop a two-way game because... he held him accountable while playing the center position. You need to go in your own end. You need to separate people from the puck. And so that added a physical element to his game, even though he's a smaller guy.
He plays big.
Yes. But it also led to concussions. It led to other stuff, yeah. Right? And so then you're like, why is he doing this? Because he's so important.
Concussions are overrated.
Yeah. I mean, no big deal, right?
Yep. Right.
But if you look at this year specifically, they went back to Finland. Mikko Koivu was with him. They were attached at the hip, right? Because Granlund is as important to this team as any player on the team, if not
absolutely
more. Sure. Yeah. And so they're attached at the hip. And I saw a conversation where Bruce Boudreau says his first call is to Mikko Koivu, right? And as it should be. And in that conversation, Mikko Koivu says, this year, I want Granlund on my wing. And Boudreau obviously was like, you're the guy, you can have what you want. But as important as having Koivu with Granlund, they put Zucker on that line. And Zucker creates opportunities with the speed. He creates the person that Granlund could feed pucks to. Mm-hmm. And then you have an opportunity for Koivu to move without the puck and then benefit as well. And that was really, really good. If you look at... going into the St. Louis Blues series, it's been talked about by Boudreau that he's going to have Haula with Koivu and Granlund. And I think that this is specifically matchup-wise because they're looking to draw Tarasenko. And you're going to use Haula to chase around Tarasenko like he did with MacKinnon.
Yeah, no. And I mean, let's be honest. Really, if you look at it, Haula is really just a proxy for Zucker. Because, I mean, it's basically the same line, just you're flipping out Zucker for Haula. And that line, at least earlier in the season, was terribly productive.
Yes.
I mean, they did very well as a line.
That's our finish line.
I mean, me and Kenny were looking up
earlier. That is finish line.
It is our finish line.
Yeah.
But me and Kenny were looking up earlier, and it was like between Koivu, Zucker, and Granlund, those are the only three guys in the top 10 in plus-minus in the league. And that's that one line. I think Suter's in there as well.
Yeah, Suter was in there as also.
Right, but I mean, it's like that line does really well. So if Zucker is banged up or, you know, that line was dragging down a little bit at the end of the season, it makes sense to put Haula in because we were doing stuff at the end of the season there with
Haula. I think looking at numbers with that, Aaron, I think basically Zucker, Haula, and like Tony was saying, we're almost like interchangeable. I like having Haula on there. You know, you get your finish line, and I think Haula's got maybe not as much speed as Zucker does, but I think Haula's got some better hands that can be set up a little bit better for some shots. for some goals. I don't know.
I think Zucker's game this year actually has come around quite a bit, and I mean, I don't mind Zucker on that line. I think that Zucker, like you say, I mean, it's obvious he's got the wheels, he's got the speed to,
right,
you know, create.
His hands are better stuff this year than it were.
But yeah, absolutely. And I think that he's actually been making some pretty smart plays as well, you know, as far as moving the puck.
I have to agree with Jive on this too. It is just because I think Zucker has a better handle than Hala, but also Hala has an opportunity to go to that line because you have Yule, Erickson, Ek to play the fourth line, and you've added Hansel. So no longer do you need Hala to play center, which gives you a great opportunity to use his speed.
Or maybe he's the same way as Granlund, where, you know, his big flaw coming into the league was he wasn't sound defensively.
Well,
we've seen him be very good on the PK.
I think that's what Tony was getting at.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And it's not even that Howell is not sound defensively.
That was his dig on him coming into the league.
Yeah.
He was an offensive only. You know?
But he also didn't have a position either. You know, if you look at his time with the Gophers, he was forced to play center. He's more of a wing. He can do both. He was productive both places.
Utility man.
Yes. And the other part of it though, I think Howla's greatest asset is his speed, right?
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when you have the type of speed to chase down McKinnon and make his life terrible, and then that's how we are able to neutralize him during that Colorado series, that's what they're going to look for him to do.
We need to do that against Tarasenko.
And we need to. And Howla has the disposition to be the type of pest that Tarasenko... Tarasenko's going to want to take shots at him.
Well, and Hala is going to be the pest that Zucker wouldn't be.
Zucker
has a little bit of bite to him, but Hala... Yeah.
Zucker's more buzz than bite.
Hala will get gritty.
He will.
The other part of it, right, is that Zucker, with Granlund and Koivu, ultra productive this year, right?
Yeah.
But when you look at the playoffs... And you look at who Zucker's going to play with. He's going to play with Charlie Coyle, and he's going to play with Hansel. And when we made the acquisition. I'm going to make accusations. That's why I have that on my mind. When we acquired Hansel, I've watched him play. Mm-hmm. He's been on the opposing side. The thing I've been most disappointed with is his handle of the puck. I mean, he literally. He's an offensive presence, but it's dirty in front of the net.
Grinder.
He's a grinder. He does not handle the puck well. Yep. And Charlie Coyle, I think what we've learned about him is that he's a talented guy, but he's a guy that's looking to set other people up. He's not a guy that looks...
He's got the same MO as kind of Koivu, actually.
Yes.
Where he's strong on the puck, but he's... He's not really the guy that we're looking to park his ass in front of the net and direct stuff.
And so with Hansel, I mean, Hansel's been productive, right? Sneaky productive. I mean, he's taken a lot of criticism.
He was rough. He was rough coming in.
It's like 11 points in 13 games since, and so that, you know, the eye test doesn't pass, right?
Right.
But what I would say to you is that if you put somebody that can possess the puck, that can enter the zone, that can create enough time for Hansel to take his big lumbering butt in there, get in front of the net, and do all of that, I think what Boudreaux's thinking is that if you team up Zucker and Coyle, they can get the puck into the zone long enough for Hansel to set up, and then you've created a third line that's offensive, that can grind out the game, that can possess the puck in there and generate their own chances.
That's a good thought. I mean, it really is. And I know you're talking about Hansel here. You know, he has produced some points of late. He did struggle a little bit coming in, but you know, it's to be expected when you're coming in and you know, getting your feelers out on the new system.
Played his entire career in Arizona.
Right.
And so then so,
that's the one thing he knew.
By the way, you live in Minnesota now.
Yep. but fair enough. And that's the piece that I haven't felt that Hansel actually fits in with the Wild, is that like his speed is like a total notch down from.
But if you imagine that he is an alternate universe Koivu that goes to the, you know, the mouth of the net, you know, I can see that.
Is big.
You know, you know, that's the way I look at it. You know,
yeah.
The mix of the lack of puck handling, and then his foot speed, skating wise, he's pretty brutal on the ice.
It is
if it's not set up right, and so if the puck isn't in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a flow guy.
There's no flow.
Yeah, he is not going to be part of those like passes, like that plays where you're like, wow, that was
beautiful. No, yeah.
The tic tac toe stuff.
He's going to be in the gross, like, dirty, like chop away or some sort of weird thing. Because I'm pretty sure that's about every goal he's been involved with.
Yes,
this year with the Wild at least.
And he stumbles and fumbles and. He can make the simplest pass just look like it's geometry. It's just terrible. But that's the other thing. And Derek mentioned it in the chat just now. Hanzel leads the Wild in faceoff percentage too.
He does.
And so again,
the next Zenon Kanapka.
Again, that's really good. Hoppy. But again, for playoff hockey specifically, if you get the puck in the zone. And you can have it there long enough to get Hanzel in there, even if you don't generate a goal, even if you generate a faceoff, you're extending your possession. The easiest way to win a hockey game is to not have it in your own end.
Well, especially on some of those defensive faceoffs, power plays, PKs, where you want to get that control and get that puck out of your zone as fast as possible. Absolutely. Which would be the Kanapka theory.
Right. And, you know, talking about the other end of the rink, Dubes did manage to rack up his 40th win of the season.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah. That's
When you think about how good he was and then how bad he's been.
But, I mean, 40 wins, because he did not play all 82, so that means that he won a majority of his games.
Yep.
He won 40 of the 49 wins for the Wild.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive, I think.
Yep.
And I think what's so hard about Dubnyk, right, is that he was so good, and then when he was bad, the goals were bad. I mean, they were soft, they were fluky, they were flutterers, they were like concentration broken goals, and it wasn't like he was getting bad beats. It wasn't like it was bad bounces. It wasn't like they were lucky goals. They're like goals that should never happen in the entire world. And so when a guy goes from top of the hockey world, like unbelievable, to that, I think it creates panic.
And I don't know. I might have to disagree with you a little bit there, because I know that especially as the Wild had that stretch there where, you know, there wasn't anything that they could do right to win.
Boudreaux's worst stretch in his career as well.
I just know that the majority of the goals that I was looking at there that would be scored on the Wild, regardless even of who was in the net, it always seemed that either there was one of our own players, that's causing a screen, or taking down the visibility for the goalie to make a decent save on something. Either that, or we're not clearing guys out in front and those guys are, able to, provide a good screen on the goalie for these guys to get shots. And then even if a goalie is able to react to that, they're able to then, it puts a rebound out there and they're going to score another goal.
Well, I mean, going back to Dubnyk getting his 40th win, what I find is amazing. Obviously, it's the most wins by a goaltender in Wild history.
Right.
But you go back to the North Stars, you go back to the Fighting Saints, no other Minnesota professional goalie has notched 40 wins.
What other Minnesota team has notched 40 wins?
There's been plenty.
The Twins most years.
But twice as many games.
but, you've got the 91 team, the 81 team for the North Stars.
Oh, I thought you were talking the Twins again.
No, no, no.
You said the 91 team as well.
That would have been 91, 92, I think.
North Stars?
Yeah, yeah.
90-91.
Yeah. So there's been a couple years where we've had good teams, but no.
Wait a minute.
No 40 wins.
So that North Stars team was 90-91?
Yeah, because it's 91 playoffs.
I will
never forget 91.
Now, if we're taking a look at this, and then the Twins in 91 went on to win the World Series.
No, correct? Actually, the Twins won the World Series.
91?
Yes, that year.
So
I thought you said you wouldn't forget 91.
Well, them losing to Pittsburgh.
So, right, but here we go.
Yeah, no, Twins came back and won the World Series that year.
Right. So here we go, though. We've got the Wild. They're in the playoffs. I mean, I think our prospects are great. The Twins.
5-1? Did they win today? I don't know.
I think they did.
Are they 6-1 right now?
I mean.
They won.
They've won
yesterday.
More games than they won all last year,
right?
They got
day off today.
Yeah, it must have been day off today.
Yeah. So I think they're 5-1 right now?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
5-1 or 6-1?
Five and one.
Yeah, it was
four,
three-game series against
at 4-0, it was the best Sox. Start since 1987.
4-0, right. And then they lost one, and then Irvin Santana went out there, pitched a gem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I just.
No, yeah. And so I think it's completely relevant that this team went up and put up more points than they've ever have in franchise history.
Ever have.
Beyond that, when you look at this team, right, the young core is no longer, I guess, a young core. They're like a veteran core now. And then you have the old guys, right? But the production that we've seen out of this lineup What did I see? I think we had 8, like, 15 goal scorers. And so...
We're not used to that around here.
And then when you look at adding a kid to the roster at the end of the season, like Yule Eriksson Ek, when you have your team graduate like it has and be as important as it has, I mean, the list of the Fletcher Flair prospects goes Granlund, Zucker, Coyle, Dumba, Brodin, and then even the sixth defenseman. I'm a huge Folan guy, and the reason I'm a huge Folan guy is because he contributes to the hockey game, but he also has the size and ability to clear the net, to take a run at somebody when they get nasty with Tiny Dancer, Jonas Brodin.
I don't have my Elton John sample.
Tony Danza.
Not Tony Dean.
No, Tony Danza was a boxer, right? And so I love the reference, right? Because I know it comes from the song.
I've got a screen print of effing Danza over in the other room, actually.
Outstanding.
But Folan, you know, he's a plus 10, plus minus with a, you know.
Yeah.
Plus 10. Mm-hmm. Brodin, just a plus 5, despite playing another 17 games. Scandella, playing another 3 games over Brodin, minus 2. I'm high on Folan.
Yes.
Sorry.
really, really good. And you know, we talked
I'm
about
stupid,
it before.
I'm Canadian, and I love Sagers.
Outstanding. we talked about it before the show, and I've always contended that Suter should play with Dumba. Suter should allow Dumba to activate, use his gifts, which are offensive.
Well, you don't want to put your two most defensive guys together. That's why I always found it ridiculous where you put Brodin and Suter together. Put, you know, Dumba with Suter. Put Brodin with Scandella or whatever.
And then you got Spurgeon with Folan.
But I've always thought that Spurgeon and Scandella, they came up together. They've always played well together.
They have actually done really well together.
And I always think that Spurgeon is better at including and finding Scandella. Like, they have the natural chemistry with each other so that you can incorporate Scandella's shot. I mean, Scandella had a down year. Scandella looks like the odd man out if somebody's going to get taken in the expansion draft.
Yes, he
does. But the thing about Scandella is he's like... In my mind, and probably, you know, I'll get savaged for it, which I'm okay. Scandella is like Brett Burns light in that he has size, he has ability to go end to end with the puck, and he can score goals. And I know. But we've lacked a player with the size to be physical in the defensive end, but then also be contribute to the offensive hockey game. And nobody has a shot on that blue line like Scandell, except for Dumba.
Dumba's got that shot on that blue line. And
the way Scandella cuts his hair, he will never be Brent Burns.
No. Well, I don't know.
No. And you know what? And nobody can. But also, Suter can go to end-to-end with the puck, but he's not looking to score. He's looking to put it in the corner and wait for guys to come down there.
But,
and Suter's shot is
garbage.
Really embarrassing.
Suter does it when he's got the right opportunity. He's not doing it on a regular basis.
Yes.
He's safe. He plays safe. And
but that's also why he's high up on the plus minus, is because right. He plays safe.
Right.
Tony, I'm going to agree with you going back a few steps with Follin, though, is we do not have the guys that are physically pushing guys out in front of Dubnyk right now.
No.
And Follin is one of the few guys that is actually moving guys back and forth and trying to clear.
Like Prosser tries to, and it's just it's embarrassing. You know,
Spurgeon is just like that little mite but
Spurgeon is scrappy dude. You know,
he thinks he can, but he.
No, I think he plays bigger though than he is.
He totally does. Suter's always going more. Suter's not getting much physical. I mean, we've seen him throw a few checks this year, but. Not much. And then, you know, Brodin, I would really like to see Brodin actually playing more like Follin. And I think that would up his game 100%.
Well, and speaking of physical, I mean, one of our most physical guys, Parisi, he'll get into the dirty areas. He's not, afraid to get into places, but he might start to grow some fear. Parisi, he did make a return after taking a stick to the eye. A week or a week and a half ago?
He came back like 2 games later.
Yeah. Missed a game or two. Yep. But he comes back and now last game of the season. Here we are. He's going trying to dig for the puck and he gets hit with a high stick. Whose high stick? Not even somebody from the other team, right? We got our own Nino writer.
The ref pointed to Nino.
Playing gym school, floor hockey, swinging his stick all over the place and catches his own teammate right up under the visor. So what do you guys think? Should Parisi start maybe just wearing a full mask, full visor on there?
Well, I remember a couple years ago.
Get the full eye tech going on.
Big lip gash from like a couple years ago. He's going to look like Leatherface at a certain point here, right?
Oh, he's got too pretty of a face to
I
do
think,
that,
I think it was a Puck Rocker that sent us an image of that. I think it might have been. I could be wrong on that.
I think the thing with visors, especially for a guy that doesn't wear it, is that you don't change what you do no matter the circumstances, especially when the stakes are the highest.
Well, and here would be my point. So all the players now are required.
Right.
If you're coming in, now you have to at least wear the half shield visor, right? Yep. Now, if you take a look at like that exact hit there on Parisi, had that visor not been there, the stick would have
got
somewhere
off the top of his
it helmet. Would have somewhere else to bounce to.
So are you saying they should go to
full
masks?
I'm saying they should go to no mask. You know, let them play with their
I think you're
again.
Crazy.
Actually, Jive, I see where you're coming from.
Seriously, the stick is going up under there. It's got nowhere to go.
So you're saying they should play
go.
Without a helmet then?
Yes.
I didn't say that. Because there's falling backwards on the ice, and then that's...
You can fall forward, too.
This is going back into the... I read an article not too long ago about football versus rugby and how rugby players wear less padding and are taking more brutal hits. But because they're wearing less padding, the hits aren't nearly as atrocious as what football players are taking. And I think if you start taking out some of the equipment again, instead of trying to prevent it, like maybe make it more so like you're going to get hurt if you hit a guy too hard.
Right. Well, yeah, like the exactly the football guys. You put this big old padded helmet on them, and now you buff it all up so they don't get a concussion. And now they just use that they use their head as a weapon.
Yeah,
to just
pretty
like,
much.
You know, make yourself a missile.
Not if you're shooting the puck at me. It's wow. just never happening. Okay. So, never happening.
Goalies used to play with them.
No.
Goalies don't even like it, though.
Guys camp out in front of the net. They do their dirty work, and then the puck gets shot at them, and they do their best to avoid it.
Let me ask you guys this.
Your jaw and your chin are still open. What's the difference between a half shield and nothing, really? Your eyes.
Hope,
that's it.
Hope is the difference.
That's it.
You don't get hit in the face of the puck.
And your eyes, respond anyway.
You're making the argument for a full cage then.
No, I'm making the argument that,
their arms will get faster.
Either go a full cage, so yes, you're
full visor,
protecting
whatever.
Protecting your face, or don't put a rule around it, because
NHL doesn't want it. You know why they don't want it? Because they want to be able to market their stars.
Yeah,
with the full cage, you don't get to see.
They're taking that away every year by covering up their face.
Right.
You don't get to see the Pavel Datsyuks of the world.
And if you want to market your stars, I mean, when you're panning your camera around and you catch this guy sitting on the bench holding his stick, and then he gives us a big grin and like he's missing his front tooth teeth.
People love that.
Love it. Parise's face, the battle scars of the fight, the game that is hockey.
Brent Burns
is the prime example.
Missing teeth.
Why not open up the face then?
Why you just dial it back and just have no helmet then, though?
I could be down with that. Denny Savard days right?
I've had my nose broken by a hockey puck. Ruined my life in the moment.
That was the last time you stood in front of a hockey puck, right?
I wasn't.
We'd get more shots to the net now.
No, I.
Maybe people wouldn't be as to stand in front of the goalie.
My nose tends to be a target for violence, and so
is that right?
Tony, that's kind of bad for your profession.
Well, just in general, my life in general. But you know what's so smart about the conversation, right? Parise is getting healthy at the right time, and we need more out of him, right? So 19 goals this year looks like a letdown season for him. Plus, the eye test on it is that he hasn't been...
His eye or the opponent's eye?
Mine.
Oh, all right.
Mine. His eyes look really bad.
I'm not sure what he's seeing at this point.
His eyes, not good. No, but the eye test on Parise is that he has not been a major, major factor in a lot of the games. And the Wild had their most points in a season. And so I think that speaks to the depth of this team and the scoring and the production and whatever. He's getting healthy at the right time. Well, one of the things that came out during the year, and I actually got on with Molesky and I talked about it, right? Because... he's had strep 3 times this year. Plus, he has the tonsils still in, and he's been getting tonsillitis. And so I actually had that surgery, right? So I would snore loud enough to rattle my brain, to threaten my marriage.
We actually had I know you're trying to talk about Jive, but we had a buddy who was having problems with that and got his tonsils removed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he says it was like the best thing he's ever done.
And I had the same surgery, right? The other part was I did the thing where you end up in the Top Gun mask, where I would stop breathing. My wife would think I was dying. That's not
sleep
helpful.
Apnea.
Yes. And so I had...
So that's what I'm being, helped with right now.
So I had, not only did I have the tonsils out as an adult, which is like the worst thing they can do to you. I was out for like a month. It was brutal. But
man, you're a wimp. My son had that done, and like he was back at school.
What
like
age?
A couple days.
No. You're supposed to do it when you're young.
Right. No.
When you do it when you're old. And not only that, kids are resilient.
Yep.
If I fall down tomorrow, I hurt for months.
Oh, yeah.
if my kid falls down tomorrow, he gets a kiss, and then right it's my fault. Yeah. Is how it works. Right.
Exactly. He was about 6 or 7 at the time.
But so, the conversation goes, well, why doesn't he have the surgery, have the tonsils out so that he doesn't have these reoccurring problems, so that he's not missing a step or two with the strep throat, so that he's not constantly battling this? And as an adult, it puts you out for like a month.
Right.
And so he didn't have the surgery. He's been battling that all year. But he right now, in the moment, he could have possibly his greatest impact going into this series, especially playing with who he's going to play with. So he's going to play with Stahl, and then he's going to be playing with Nino. And I think every Wild fan, every stat geek, every person that thinks that they know better than the rest of the Wild coaching staff has thought, why isn't Nino getting as many minutes as you can give him? Why isn't he playing in the top six? Why isn't he on the first power play? He leads the team in power play goals. And when you have Nino and you have Stahl with Parise, you're giving that line the greatest opportunity to succeed, especially in this first round against the Blues.
Yeah. All right.
Wild card?
Should we get into the wild card? All right.
So, with the wild card, we're going to talk about
Wild. I know Roos has been posting a lot about the end of the season awards.
Yeah.
And who he would vote for people. And why shouldn't we take the same opportunity to do that?
I've got a few options for you guys.
We're making a little less money than he is as far as talking about the wild. But
yeah, speak for yourself.
Did you get a raise that your boss didn't tell me about?
Well, 3 in the box. I thought
make it rain salty licorice.
Oh.
Oh.
That's all I'm making is salty licorice?
Well, it's better than salty something else.
That's salty, guys.
It's aggressive. We talked about that a little pre-show, didn't we?
So, salty?
The thing we talked about, in and around, you know. You know. That was me censoring myself for the show, right?
And I just gave that a rim shot.
Better than a rim job.
Allegedly.
Talk to Patrick.
This has gone the wrong way.
All right. So let's run over some of our few.
If we were voting for the awards, who would we pick?
Yeah, we're just going to go quickly around the table on all these. Let's save that one for last. Let's do Lady Bing, sportsmanship.
Sportsmanship. Who has the best sportsmanship on the Wild? I would have to say, sportsmanship-wise, I would actually go with Koivu.
Zach Parise.
I'm going to go Spurgeon.
Jive, I think I'm going to agree with you with Koivu. Unless you piss him off, then you get angry Finn. But generally, I think he's pretty
good. Yeah, but he has too many penalty minutes. Spurgeon is...
Spurgeon
is a gentle...
Does that make you a sportsman? Maybe you're just not competitive enough. Sometimes if you're playing hard, you know that...
I think
penalties just happen.
Jive, I think you're missing this. I think that Lady Bing kind of looks at penalty minutes too, don't they?
Yeah, because... You wouldn't have the exploding Koivu back shoulder, you know.
Yeah, and so Spurgeon gets destroyed by guys that are bigger than him all game long, and he never takes a cheap shot. He never
retaliates.
He never does anything that you're
So you guys are saying Spurgeon is a lady.
No.
Nice. The reason I said Parise is just because he...
Parise doesn't either, though.
His game is in the dirty areas. He doesn't garner...
He's been jackhammered back more often than not.
And I've never seen Parise do anything Bush League. I've literally never seen him...
There's been lots of times that I've wanted to retaliate for him.
All right. You know what? Our people listening are all voting for Spurgeon, so I think we might have to go with Spurgeon.
What about Granny? Because Granny is also that same guy where he's like Parise light, where he'll get in the dirty areas and get...
He's taken a lot to the face this year, too.
All this talk about going to the face, man.
Dustin Byfuglien. That's all you have to say. That's all you have to say.
Gave me a semi.
All right. That's
a great soundbite.
Norris Trophy. Best defenseman.
Suter. I mean, I'm not even a Suter guy.
Right, but Suter, I mean, he is.
It's really a no-brainer,
yeah,
really.
You You right? can't argue with him. I mean, he...
I think you could argue last year, but his game is different since they cut back minutes. You know, we're not getting the constant...
Cut back minutes.
Well, it has, though.
A little bit. I mean, he's under 30 now.
But I think that changes
he's
his game.
He's under 30 now that he's over 30?
Right.
That changes his game, though, I think. Yep. In a genuine sense. And, you can't argue with the amount of
points
he's putting up as well.
He puts up points. The guy, I mean, defensively, like, it is hard to catch him out of position.
Right.
You know, that's
literally, you could be in front of the net and Suter finds a way to force you to the boards. Yeah. Just any player, any player in the entire world, he uses his long arms and pushes you to the boards.
Yep.
All right, we're going to skip this next one as well. Just we'll get back to it, though. Let's go to the Selkie, forward who excels in defense. So who's our best two-way forward?
Koivu.
Yeah, I think Koivu is going to be an all-around with the Wild.
That's a no-brainer, I think.
Yes. Okay.
All right, so then let's go... how do we want to do this? Okay, let's go Hart. Let's go MVP of the season. Hart Trophy, MVP.
Tony, go for it.
Devin Dubnyk.
Ooh.
And you know why I say that is because he was the best goalie in hockey, maybe.
He carried this team
the best player.
He carried this team the first half.
He got the Vezina by default. So
Vezina.
Yeah. Come on, I say it right so Teresa can't mock me, and then I got you sitting here telling me how to say it wrong.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
John, what do you think?
As far as the MVP goes, I mean, Dubnyk is probably the definite shoo-in. Without his 40 wins this season, without his play earlier in the season where, I mean, he was, you know, more or less basically just shutting teams down. You know, and now that he gives up a goal, a couple more goals or an extra goal a game, I mean, we feel his game has gone so far downhill, but he's still a decent goalie, you know. He would definitely be, you know, MVP material. But if we had to move out from the net and we're looking at guys out from the net, quietly and silently, I would like to say actually Niederreiter. He's found himself
the overall MVP?
He's found himself in the right places at the right times. I think that, you know, the goals that he has made have been difference makers.
Kenny, what are you thinking?
I'm going to go with Granny. I think the numbers kind of speak for themselves with this. The points that he got, his plus minus, I mean, his plus minus wasn't leading the team, but they were still up there high enough.
Sure.
And I think with the amount of points that he got, he was,
he led the team in points.
He led the team in points. Yeah. His plus minus wasn't the best on the team, but it was nothing to laugh at.
No.
I think he was pretty stable as far as, like, not taking dumb penalties.
He's a plus 23. You know, if I'm looking at, you know, Granny's up there, Stahl's up there. Stahl had a great year.
He did.
I think, Jive, your point of Nino is great, and I think Dubnyk's great. But I'm going to go Granny, too. I think without Granny, our beginning of the season doesn't look like it did. And I think that contributed a lot. I think Stahl had some, he'd had peaks and valleys, but he wasn't enough to get over.
Mm-hmm.
Granny was almost a point a game.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, Granny had a great year.
What's your point?
A game.
Trust the Finns. I think that's really what the underscoring
I guess the answer should have been, where's the finish?
Right.
Okay, what's the last one?
All right, last one, and this one's kind of looking ahead to the next few weeks, hopefully more than just two, and it's beyond. Conn Smith, MVP for the playoffs. If you can predict one, who is going to be our all-star for the playoffs right now?
If the Wild do the thing that I think that they have the chance to do, then it's going to be Devin Dubnyk.
Completely agree. If the Wild get as far as we want them to, it's going to be on the back of Dubnyk, period.
And it's hard to argue with that. I mean, anytime that you see a team going deep into the playoffs or making it to the Stanley Cups, they don't make it there without, you know, having a goaltender that is, you know, standing on top of his head, making some pretty damn awesome plays.
I'm going to have to actually make this a consensus.
Well, I'm not I'm not saying that's
okay,
my pick,
so
though.
Jive's not done. I might change my mind.
Oh, I like what you did there. Hedging. That's really that's well played.
So I'm not going to disagree on Dubnyk, but my call for the MVP is actually going to go back to some comments you were making earlier, Tony. Parisi. I think that, you know, this is a guy who's been, you know, kicked and beaten basically all season long. You know, I think it was made to mention out there that he didn't make his, you know, 20 goals this season for the first time since his rookie year.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who's been, you know, beaten up all year long. I think that, you know, that being said, he's going to have something to say about that. And it's go time. Last year he was kept out of the playoffs.
Well if he's going to say it
because of an injury,
he's running out of time because he plays a young man's position or game. So if he's going to do it, it's got to be this year.
It's going to be now.
I respect it so much because the thing that's always been said and the narrative that's always been out there and floated around is has the window closed, right? And why don't the veterans show up to the playoffs, right? And so that was another thing that happened, right? If you look at series past,
yeah. Where, old guys get tired.
Where is the
not if your name's Yager,
right?
Where is the elevation of the squad though by the superstar guys? And I think, and I've been thinking this a lot, if guys like Parise and Pominville and Koivu and Suter, if they're not thinking maybe this is our last shot,
yeah.
Then I don't know where their heads are at because when you have this window and you have this career, none of it matters if you don't have a Stanley Cup.
And we've got a pretty magical team this year.
And obviously, Suter doesn't have one. Zach Parise does, but he doesn't have one here.
No.
And the bill of goods that we were sold is that the reason Suter and Parise would come here and sign those matching deals and write a check that they haven't been able to cash is that they were going to bring a championship here.
So it's going to happen. Because they said so.
I'm saying.
All right.
All right.
So that's it. That's what I got. So let's talk about what we have coming
up. We got a lot coming up.
No, what did you go with? You went with Parise too?
No, I went with Dubnyk, remember?
Okay.
I was trying to make it a consensus, and then Jive changed it on me.
But I didn't know if you were going to change after the fact.
Yeah, because you said, wait.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. No. I think I am going to stick with Dubnyk, because, I mean, we really need that solid wall behind us.
All right, and here's what we got upcoming.
So in the next week before our next episode, we've got Wednesday game one, Friday game two, both at home.
Are those? Is that a rivalry?
Real Renzi rivalry?
Yeah.
Well, it will be this week.
Okay.
Well, actually, no. We get the second half of that, so it might just be not the real rivalry Wednesday. Just maybe rivalry Wednesday.
We got a for real Friday friendship on Friday. And a seriously
shitty Sunday
in St. Louis.
Yeah. I don't know what else to put in for Ness.
Bitches love alliteration. I'll tag that one. Okay. So.
First three games.
With that, obviously, we've talked about it enough while in the playoffs. Hockey Reference is putting
I don't know if we said who they're playing.
I don't know that we actually have.
We're playing St. Louis,
We've alluded to it.
Yeah.
Hockey Reference has the Wild at a 10.3% chance to win the Cup, which is the highest in the West, and only Columbus and Washington are higher. Sports Club Stats has them at a 14%, which is only second behind Washington. First off, is that fair, considering the even odds for any team is 6.5%-ish?
Right.
10%, 14%.
I think that's fair. I mean, basically what we're looking at here is...
Would you take the over or under on that?
I mean, well, it, it,
That's as a Minnesotan thing. Or as a Wild fan?
As a Wild fan, yes, I'd probably take the over. But
as a Minnesotan?
As a Minnesotan, I'd probably still take the over. I mean, we always do that. But anyways, when you're looking at this, though, I think that if you look at the whole picture of the Wild season, I mean, that's a pretty good work of art, if you ask me. And if you look at that whole thing, it was a great season, and we did very well. There was that little chunk in there, though, that has brought all this kind of maybe doubt into people's souls.
Or maybe they used up their loss streak at the right time.
Maybe they did.
You know, because look at the Brewdog teams. They go rolling into the playoffs and, you know, whereas this team now, they've already got through that. Yeah. You know, they're on maybe, to
maybe,
better things.
Maybe Boudreaux figure out how to get his peaks and valleys going right. Right.
He's rope-a-doping yo right now.
Rope-a-doping.
I also think you look at the St. Louis team, and they have very, very talented players on there, but they're missing some guys.
They've moved a lot of guys. I mean, they moved guys like they were, you know, isn't the season.
And I also think we're rooting for Nashville. I mean, I really think...
Oh, totally.
I think totally. We're rooting for Nashville.
Let's not play Chicago in the playoffs.
Actually, I disagree. I'm rooting for Chicago because I would like that matchup.
And take the monkey off the back.
And for the Wild to finally, get that monkey out of here.
I don't trust Kane or Hossa or Panarin or any of those bastards not to score goals against the Wild.
Okay.
So I take no hope in that. So.
I'm going to say this with you two. If we can get past Chicago, I don't want to see Chicago, but Tony, if we can get past Chicago, then I feel we can beat any other team in the league right now because we cannot beat Chicago in the playoffs. It's been proven. And they're just
those are different teams.
Our downfall. Yes.
Those are different teams. The problem is Chicago has cups and we have aspiration. And so we make
Wild players probably wear cups too.
We make Corey Crawford look like a genius in the playoffs. I mean,
we've made him look like a genius in the regular season this year.
He's gotten beaten the regular season a lot.
Actually, no. Who did we see? It wasn't Crawford in that. It was
Darling.
Darling.
Yeah. No.
Darling Nikki.
And I agree with that too, right? I am rooting for Nashville.
I would still rather, I'd rather face the Fairweather Booter fans in Trashville and face the Purds in the second round.
But I agree with what you're saying, Kenny, and I think that it's super relevant that if this team exercises the demons against the Blackhawks in the second round,
there should be nobody that can stop them.
There should be nobody that can stop them. And
except for Anaheim.
And you're writing.
Oh, no.
Except for Anaheim.
No, Anaheim's garbage. Come on.
We've never beaten Anaheim in the playoffs either.
Yeah, but
this is not the same Anaheim.
No, it's not. Boudreaux's here this time.
Right.
But
he's beaten Anaheim before.
You don't write a better Stanley Cup story for this team, this group, the Minnesota Wild, than beating Chicago, going on to win the cup, because, I mean, that's the thing that they should do.
First round, you beat Yo. Second round, you beat Chicago.
Third round, you beat Anaheim.
Exactly.
Fourth cup, round?
Capitals.
No, Penguins. We need our 91 revenge.
No, Capitals.
Nope. Penguins. Penguins. I totally go with the Penguins. You know why? Because that was the team that I loved the most, and
I want to see Crosby.
It broke my heart that they were so bad in that series. They were so good, and then they looked as if they were the worst team in hockey against the Penguins.
North Stars?
Yes.
Yeah.
John Casey, Madonna Bellows, Kurt Giles, Tenorti. Nothing.
They crumbled.
There was nothing we could do. It was as if we were in awe. And I mean the players that were on the ice, because I wasn't there. I was 9 years old. It was like they were in awe. They were like, man, this is a magical thing that's happening.
Penguins had some pretty crappy guys on their team.
Yeah, though, you know, anyways, Lemieux, right? I think, was a rookie that year. Let's
see. Or that Jaromir Jagr.
No, Jagr was a year. Jagr was a rookie.
Jagr was a rookie.
Jagromir Jagr.
You know, Jagr.
Actually, Tony, that, if we could see him beat St. Louis, Chicago, Anaheim, and then the Penguins, I could die a very happy man. Like, I could die the next day and be like, dude, I'm golden.
Every Minnesota National Hockey League demon would be exercised.
It'd be gone.
And you know, I think when
would that get us over Norm Green?
Norm who?
Huh?
It certainly would.
Never forget.
And Bedman still sucks.
You know what breaks my heart, too?
Hockey fans are special.
Madonna was my favorite player of all time.
He's a great player.
I think he's a great guy, though. Until he used the Minnesota Wild as leverage to get a deal with Detroit. He talked about, you know, really good to go to the Minnesota Wild, but
back to Minnesota.
That was stirring up business with Detroit, and
yeah, but he was going to like basically put a nail in his coffin on.
He's from Michigan.
But he's from Michigan, and that's the only reason I kind of forgave him.
I'll give him slack, just as I'll give Parisi slack, just as I'll give, even though Suter's not really even a Minnesota guy.
He's Wisconsin, doesn't have a team.
Close enough, you know.
But the problem was, he used Minnesota being interested as leverage to get the thing that he wanted, and that was not a way that you
should.
That's
business, man.
It's business, but you should have more respect for the fans.
But
because we didn't choose to have the franchise move.
For the fans, that's fine. But you want to know what? For the last, you know, 15 years, it doesn't matter what the hell the Minnesota fans think. What's going to pay your bills, your family's bills, or, you know, your future after hockey.
Yes.
That depends on you. And as a player, I really honestly feel that, you know, you got to step up to bat. You got to get what you can get now. Because
I don't think
the NHL is doing, though, is they're going to cash in on all these guys as they can right now.
It's all business.
Right.
Yeah, but it was dirty business. Tony. And I didn't appreciate it.
All right.
To contradict your point there, I mean, that'd be like, if Parisi did not sign with the Wild now, and he was still with New Jersey, and he was playing with New Jersey, and he had the option for his final year to either go to Chicago or here, and he never played for Chicago, but, you know, and he ended up coming here because he was from Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, I could totally get that standpoint where why Madonna went to Detroit instead of coming to here, because it was his hometown team.
Yeah.
It's where he grew up. It's where his family's from.
Yes.
So, as Aaron said, I mean, I kind of agree with it, but yes, it would have been nice to see him come back and actually finish his career in Minnesota, even though it was in a team that he had played for.
And it's not even the same franchise, really.
I mean, that's
what Minnesota needs to also get over, though. This isn't the same franchise.
I don't have a problem that he signed in Detroit. And in fact, for all the reasons that you said, good for him, right? The problem I have is he used Minnesota as leverage. And so here's what I'm saying. If he wanted to sign with Detroit, if he felt like he had a better chance to maybe have another run at the Cup, all good with that. But don't flirt with Minnesota and make that your ability to get the thing that you actually want, because when NHL hockey left Minnesota, there was people affected by that, right? And when you do that, it's just a different thing. It's a different thing. And I just thought, like, I don't care. As soon as they went to Dallas, I was not going to root for them, right? As a fan. No. And so when they won their cups, good for them. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
Oh, yeah. We weren't cheering for
them. I hopped right onto the Pavel Bure bandwagon. I was a Vancouver fan because Pavel Bure was my favorite player. Sure. Until the Wild came here, and then Vancouver can go F themselves, right?
Right.
Right? But I just didn't like the way that he went about it, because it was disingenuous. And I don't believe that he ever thought about signing here. He always wanted to go to the Red Wings, and good for him for all of the reasons that you mentioned.
Well, if he knows that, but he still wants to play his hand to make some more money, I mean, can you blame
a
guy?
How much
for
more
that?
Can he actually get off of a cap enforced league? So, I mean, kind of playing the teams is ridiculous, but...
tell me this, Kenny. What's 1% of $1 million even?
That would be about $1,000.
It's 10 grand.
Ten grand. I mean, heck. I'm going to battle for something like that.
All right.
You know? That's a new boat, maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
And if he even did it privately, right? If he even did it privately, instead of going on Twitter, instead of making it a public thing... it's a different thing too, and it's the thing that you're talking about, and the thing that you're talking about, I get that the business of hockey, right?
Yeah.
You'll get cut. Professional sports business, they'll cut you. You blow up your knee. It's like, man, you know,
people,
love you so much, AP. You're gone.
People use Twitter though to boost their, you know.
Let's talk about this year's playoffs.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's quickly.
Okay. Lightning round playoff predictions. First round, we'll just go quickly around. No explanation needed. Okay.
Winner and number of games.
Just winner.
Just winner?
Just winner.
Okay.
Wild versus St. Louis.
Wild.
Okay. Chicago versus Nashville.
Chicago.
Calgary versus Anaheim.
Calgary.
That's actually a little bit tougher of a call, but yes, Calgary has been coming on later in the year here. I'm still going to go with Anaheim, though.
I think Calgary's on the up, new season, and I think Anaheim is still solid. I'm going with Anaheim.
I'm going Johnny Hockey, Calgary. Edmonton, San Jose.
Edmonton.
I'm going to go with San Jose on this one. I think that Edmonton, I mean, the young guys have made some nice runs, but... I think that their lack of experience is going to...
San Jose.
Is Thornton going to play?
I think so.
Is he? If Thornton plays, I want to change it to San Jose. I saw something about it. I didn't follow up.
San Jose has home ice advantage, I think.
No, Edmonton does.
Edmonton does?
Yep.
Okay, I'm flipping. San Jose wins.
I'm going San Jose.
Montreal Rangers.
Montreal.
I'm going to go with the Rangers here.
Rangers. I actually see Rangers going all the way up to the conference finals.
The Rangers, I mean, they've gone through a few tough times, some injuries and stuff throughout the year.
Yeah, but Lundqvist is back now, so yep. I'm going with Rangers as well. Boston, Ottawa.
Ottawa.
All right, I'll jump in on this one while Jive's thinking.
Yeah.
This is one that actually had me, like, tossed when I was doing my picks, too. I think I'm going to go with Boston.
What are you going with?
Boston.
I thought I heard a little accent in there. That's why I wanted you to repeat
those massholes.
And, you know, Canada's really making a presence this year.
Well,
seeing as
it's
last
not hard. They had nothing.
Right. Seeing as last year they had nobody there. And at this point we've got, I mean, at least in my mind.
Okay,
got
lightning round.
Calgary, Edmonton, and Montreal. So I'm
Boston,
saying
Ottawa.
Ottawa has to be the one that's in. So Ottawa.
Okay, and I'm going Boston. Washington, Toronto.
Washington.
Wash your hands of this. I mean, that's an easy call.
Washington.
Yeah, that's no problem. Pittsburgh versus Columbus.
Ooh.
I'm going to say Columbus.
Ooh, I'm going to have to agree, Columbo.
I was thinking that. I think I might go with Pittsburgh, though, even though, yeah.
Do I want Columbus to win? Yes. Will Pittsburgh win? Probably.
All right.
No Letang.
Okay. We'll just do it real quick. We won't break down all the playoffs, but in the finals, what are your two teams that you're saying are going to be in the finals?
Minnesota Wild and I already picked Pittsburgh to lose. Washington.
Actually, Tony, I'm agreeing with you on that one.
Yeah.
Jive, what are you thinking?
I think that's a consensus.
No, I'm going to go Minnesota versus the Rangers.
You're just trying to be different.
Yeah, probably.
Ovechkin's going to come in here and ruin our, you know, hopes of the
he's got puck, the playoffs. He's got cupitis, man.
He's going to stand in that one corner where the Wild just, like, ignore him, and he's going to shoot the puck all day.
He's just sitting there. They're not even going to make it there, so it doesn't matter. So,
all right. Should we wrap this bad boy up?
Are we going to do Twitter talk real quick? Like,
I think we're way over here.
Yeah, let's blast through. We'll do a couple of these here.
All right.
I think we should, just because I solicited them, right? So then I'll feel bad if we don't answer them.
Yeah,
huh?
Next time. We'll lightning round them.
Lightning round them. All right, here we go.
Let's do that.
First one to you.
All right. Okay, from Tim Nato, friend of the show. Would Jeff Skinner challenge Gretzky's single season record if he played in the Central? I'm going to answer and say no.
No.
If he played in the 80s, maybe.
No.
Probably not.
No.
But if Gretzky played now, he wouldn't be Gretzky, though, either. Jeff Skinner is not Gretzky.
No. Jeff Skinner is a talented offensive player.
He is.
He's not on that level, not even interested in the thought.
No.
So it's a consensus.
All right.
Nope.
No.
All right. Next question comes in from Crease and Assist. Three in the box.
Derek Falsa.
Looking back on the 2016-17 NHL regular season, which team surprised you the most? Which team disappointed you the most?
Surprised me the most, if I'm looking at the playoff teams, probably Edmonton.
I
agree. Or Toronto,
Edmonton's,
maybe.
Edmonton's a good call. Even Columbus. I mean, they didn't, you know.
They figured it out, sort of, and expected them to figure it out.
They weren't a horrible team, but, like, they weren't, you know, it didn't seem like they were on the brink of something.
I would say, as far as disappointed, it would be Dallas, because everyone was saying, Dallas is a fucking playoff team, and
they're nowhere.
No.
My surprise team, I think, was St. Louis with how they started off.
As far as
making it,
okay.
And then, either Dallas or LA not making it in, I think, is kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
I think LA, too, because LA seems to just come up with these guys that you've never heard of, and they supplement, but I think their stars let them down there. Kopitar, Gabarek, why aren't they in the playoffs? It's really weird that happened.
Yeah, and I mean, they still have some all-stars on their team.
All right, next Twitter question, Kenny.
From Crease and Assist as well. Does the fact that the Blues dress D-bags like Reeves, Upshall necessitate the Wild must play White and Stewart instead of number 10?
Probably to a degree. I would rather see Stewart than White if I'm choosing my lineups.
Yeah.
We've seen this before with St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Where we've just, you know, we let them play their game, and it just, they got tired of it, and we kept scoring on them. And it's not like we haven't beat St. Louis in the playoffs before when they've had a bunch of dirtbags and hitters, and we've beaten them.
Schrader, though, I mean, I feel that this is the guy who just hasn't, you know, I mean, I think he could be a great contributor to the team, but he just isn't afforded the opportunity.
I think that this is a different Blues team, plus they have Mike Yeo. And Mike Yeo does not want penalties. He doesn't want junk. And so he's not Hitchcock. So I think Ryan White doesn't get a sniff. I think the problem is you have Pominville, and Pominville is always going to get time. And so the biggest block to Schrader playing is that Pominville has the
he's attached status. To the Pominville anchor.
Yes. And so when you add Erickson Ek, and you're playing Haula on the wing probably to eliminate Tarasenko, and you have as deep a roster, I don't think White gets a sniff. I think that Folan can punch a guy in the face. I certainly think that Stewart is going to be right there with Reeves. And so I just don't see this as a junky series. I see it as a series that if you give the other team a power play or an opportunity to score, you're going to lose that game.
I mean, if we're going to see a junk series, it's going to be this one. It doesn't make it past the first round.
I think if they face Nashville in the second round, Nashville is a stinky, dirty emotions team, and when you add PK Subban to that mix, they get a little funky with it, and they did during the season, and I didn't appreciate it.
Actually, yeah, it happens top to bottom. Like Tony, Mike Fisher would get like all kind of gross. Yeah, no, I totally agree.
And actually, if anybody had picked Nashville over beating Chicago, they might be right because the XL has the Wild playing four games each series, according to their website. So, yeah, according to their predictions, we get home ice every single series, which would mean Chicago gets beat.
Next question from Puck Rocker. With the sticks, with all the sticks he's taken in the face, will Zach Parise end his career looking like Leatherface or worse, Mike Ricci? We'll take a quick round of Ricci or Leatherface?
Leatherface.
Leatherface.
Ricci.
Ricci.
All right.
We're split.
Next question is from Crease and Assist.
I don't know if that answered his question, but 50-50.
Three in the box. Florida put GM Dale Talon back in as GM and booted Tom Rowe as their head coach. So, are the Panthers the worst run team in the NHL?
Probably, but I would say Garth Snow in the island of New York would be a honorable mention, at least.
The island of New York.
I would always say that Edmonton is the worst run team in the NHL, and they got really, really lucky to
they
find.
They got draft picks, man.
I know, but they still squandered them. They still made a way to have these talented players play in a system that nobody was paying attention or cared about.
Sure.
They didn't do anything with Yakupov. Didn't do anything with Hall.
No. And specifically to the question, I don't know that Florida's the worst run organization. I think that what they did was they played around with the idea that maybe Dale Talon's past his prime, and then you can bring in stats guys and smart guys, right? And that didn't work for them. So their fallback plan is Dale Talon, and that's the best fallback plan in the entire hockey universe, I think, in my opinion. So they're doing really well for themselves.
They should just hire me down in Florida because – you know, Florida, it's known as a retirement community. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to work on bringing in, like, the Yagers of the league. And this is a place where all the NHLers can go to retire. Why not?
They have good young people, too.
But that's okay. I'm going down there to make a change.
So you can go to Arizona, too.
Could do that. That's a great retirement
or
community
Vegas.
As well.
Yeah.
The weird thing,
Vegas, lots of old people.
I think Florida's really good for your business, and it's really bad for having a fan base that's loyal, that grows up with, that is in the building for
Snowbirds.
Because you have people retire to Florida from all over the country, and then they bring their fandom
Arizona's
with them.
And
how hard is it going to be for me to sell to a guy to come to Florida and play and tell him, you want to know what? Plus, we're not going to charge you any state taxes.
Actually,
on that.
I got a very valid question. This could be a yes or a no. If you guys moved down to Florida,
no.
would your allegiance change from the hockey club that you were used to rooting
no.
for?
No.
And
no.
all of a sudden start rooting no. for a team down in Florida?
No. And I wouldn't want to go in their building to watch Florida play any other team other than our fan team.
Exactly.
And, which is why professional sports in Florida
I will say though,
struggle.
I will say watching a Solar Bears game, though, was one of the funnest hockey experiences I've ever experienced.
I wouldn't mind watching minor league hockey, but I'm not paying NHL prices. I'm not going in there.
Right.
Not interested. I'd rather watch it at home.
Hold on, though. What if you're retired down there and your team that, you know, you grew up watching and loving, they come into town and play?
He said he's already.
So it's Western Conference. So you're getting me for one game a season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what if you move down from New York?
Then you're getting me for
that's
four games
New York
a season.
That's probably pretty bad. Right?
Yeah. You just extended it. Is all that happened. No, when those teams are good, right? When Tampa's good, I think they fill their building. I think Florida will be good next year. They'll be able to fill their building, but this isn't a stable fan base. This isn't a stable product because of the nature of Florida.
Well, that's the Bettman-era expansions, and it's continuing into the desert. All right, next from T. Hain, 88. Would NHL execs pass on a superior talent because of a parent? Referencing the LeVar Ball mess.
That's really interesting. LeVar Ball is really, really smart in that He's going to represent his kid. He's trying to build the brand. He's trying to do all of this. And in the NBA, the NBA is a selfish game. And right. And so you can have one player be on a roster, be the guy, be all of that. And we learned that.
LeBron James.
Or Kobe Bryant, really.
Or Michael Jordan.
Like, yes, yes. And so in the NHL, the culture doesn't dictate that. It wouldn't no. be. It
it's
wouldn't
a team
be good.
Sport.
Yeah.
It's truly a team sport.
And not only that, when you have a guy that's labeled a problem or whatever it is, I mean, look at Jonathan Drouin, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't get what they wanted. They had to sit on him, but they made him sit in the minors.
Yeah.
Well, even Nino was at that one point.
Yeah, which is really crazy because Nino has been a solid citizen. He works his tail off on the ice.
He was going to be a plumber if he didn't get into the hockey club.
But I think with Nino... it's a weird thing. You know, it had to have been snow versus him ego-wise. And
this turned it back to snow being one of the the Islanders being one of the worst run teams. So
yeah, and I think that's really interesting because, you know, the reason I point out Drouin is because this guy's like otherworld talent, but they sat him in the minors. They didn't play games with him. They didn't trade him. You're here. We control you. We control your destiny. And so this is your life.
So it's either... a play by the club and not to basically show their hand.
Almost thought we were about to break into Puppeteer there for a second.
All right.
or you could even make the argument that Patrick O'Sullivan for the Wild dropped to us because of his dad and all the toxic stuff that's been publicized now over the last couple of years.
If parents were smart, they would stay out of their kids' pro sport business and let the people who should deal with it deal with it.
But I also think it exists that there's hockey parents are some of the most dedicated people in the entire
world. I agree, but they also have a lot of that standpoint of my kid's the best and he should be getting paid more than what he's getting paid.
Well, you want to know what? As a hockey parent, you're making quite an investment in your child, so... I think you got some rights built in there.
Well, and there wasn't the parents thought of the St. Louis player that squandered all his money away.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah.
All right, next question from at Quick KWICK 13. Will Stalock or Kemper be the backup for Game One?
I actually answered this question on Twitter and then I delete it because I was like, I'm not following the rules.
That's all right.
it's obviously Kemper, and I don't think that anybody will disagree.
No, I'm going to go with Kemper as well. I think Stalock was up to kind of see what he was going to do if he was NHL ready, but I think it's going to be Kemper.
Well, they're both going to be there. I think the Wild are carrying three goalies through the playoffs. But Kemper,
I think all teams can, right?
But Kemper's going to be the one on the bench.
Yeah. I think Kemper will be there. I think that, I mean, Stalock did come up and make a good point for himself, though, that, you know, he should be okay to, you know, if need be, if he's needed to play. So I don't think that's a bad thing. But
no.
Yeah. Next Twitter question, or did you want to answer?
No, that's fine. Okay. No, I think it's going to be Kemper.
All right,
guys.
Next Twitter question comes in.
We've got something.
The rails are falling off.
We've got something where we got to try to figure out how to explain this to the masses. It comes from Chris Frost, who we had on the show very recently.
Yeah.
MN Frosty Boy. Please explain the Corsi briefly. Seeing it is used a lot. Playoff matchups needed to dumb down to the Kiwi level. His quotes, not ours.
Of course he was. To the lowest level is basically puck possession. It's
you have that, but I mean
it's offensive zone possession versus defensive zone possession, and it's quantifying that based on other statistics in a general sense.
Yeah, I mean, because it also does involve with, like, shots and shots that make it to the net that don't make it to the net, isn't
right.
it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically, how much time is your team controlling the puck versus how much time is the other team controlling the puck?
You didn't miss anything, Tony.
I literally nearly peed my pants into his mouth. I was almost Miles Davis on the podcast. You're not cool unless you pee your pants.
Or you were Chuck Berry. and liking watching people
too
pee
soon.
Their pants.
Sorry.
Tony, do you have any insight on the Corsi and explaining it?
Certainly, I think not only is Corsi possession, but I also think it's like opportunities for and limiting opportunities of the opponent, and so. We talked about it earlier. You know, the easiest way to win a hockey game is to possess the puck, not allow opportunities. And so when you see high Corsi players, they tend to be possession players, and they tend to be players that limit the opportunities of other people. And so Corsi has always been a huge argument for the impact of, like, Mikko Koivu.
Well, and it's a fairly new development. I mean...
Well, and I mean, it plays into the fact that if you're possessing the puck, that means that the other team isn't. That means you were preventing them also from scoring goals.
Or just not even having the opportunity to generate anything.
Right.
All right. So, last question we have from Jay Bushy 19. Will Greenway sign this summer or facing a Jimmy Vesey situation?
And so this one came to me specifically, and I thought it was really a good question because Greenway comes from a Boston University team that is always in tournament contention, always drawing top talent. And so what I saw, and I believe it was Russo, is he got the same question. His answer was Greenway is choosing to finish out the semester. And then this summer is when he would make a decision on it for against signing. So I don't think this is a Greenway wants to sign other places. I think this is a Greenway was not afforded the opportunity to come here, play on the Wild roster for the playoffs, and because you have the players that you do, Kunin, Tuck, different
There's
players
a whole in, list,
in the AHL. It's better for him to finish out college and then figure out if he's going to do another year at Boston U.
Right.
I think the Wild, if they're smart, they're going to leverage Coyle, a fellow former BU guy, and try to say, hey, you can get out of college early and, you know, be on an NHL team, make, you know, Buco bucks and, you know.
Yeah, and
you could come in. We'll pay you the meat league minimum.
Well, and I just think for Greenway, he's in a different situation, right? And so he has the size and the skill combination where he's been.
But Coyle has the size and skill, and he's making money, but he's not really. I don't. I think there are very few fans that are like Charlie Coyle is my favorite Wild player.
Charlie. Yeah,
this year he hasn't been, but he also hasn't been my least favorite Wild player this year.
But
that's a ringing endorsement.
It is.
The difference, though, Charlie Coyle left after his freshman year. College experience, college hockey, obviously wasn't what he wanted it to be. And so he went to Canadian Juniors, and then he was drafted from Canadian Juniors. And so with Greenway specifically, this kid has... just a different trajectory towards the NHL. And so, but I also, I just feel like it's a different situation, especially coming into the expansion draft. And that was the other thing I thought about this question is it's a really smart question because going into the summer, we will see the lists. The NHL is going to make them public, and we'll see the decisions that are made by Fletcher and Flair, who will be protected, who won't be.
Yeah.
And if you see a guy like Coyle not protected on that list, which is an argument point between fans, if Coyle's not protected on that list, I think it speaks to Greenway's situation.
I think a lot of what I've been seeing from ESPN is that Follin's probably going to be the one that's gone.
Or it could be Scandella, too. But here's the other thing. It really depends on what Las Vegas chooses to do with their roster, right? So you can protect 7-3 or 6-4, right? It's 10 players. 10 players total. And it's
one per team.
No. So here's what I'm saying. On your roster, take one per team. But what I'm saying is you can choose 7 forwards and 3 defensemen to protect, or you can protect 6 forwards and 4 defensemen.
But it also changes depending on your who you've got in the no movement contract.
But they count towards your numbers.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
And so as it currently stands, Parise, Koivu, Pominville, they all, for the forward group, they all have no movement, no trade. So they're automatically protected. And the conversation has been that Pominville will be asked, has been asked, has worked it out, that he's going to go unprotected because he won't be selected, right? I mean, there's an outside chance they could select him. That's their captain. That's their veteran. But let's
see. It's going to be a big chunk of change for a player not producing.
Yes, but he is producing. I mean, depending on what stat guys you talk to, you know, because he gets on the score sheet.
Well, there's something to be said about an expansion team picking up a veteran guy who has scoring pedigree.
And he literally would come in and be their captain. I mean, that's the other part of it. But
that's true.
Let's assume, just for my own sanity, right, that Pominville agrees to waive his clause. So then you're looking at the guys that you have to protect, and you have to on the front end, you have to protect Koivu, you have to protect Parise.
Suter.
Well, on the...
Oh, you're just talking forwards?
Just forwards, right? And so then Granlund, Nino, Zucker... And then one more, right? And so a lot of people think Stahl, but maybe it's not Stahl. Maybe it's Coil, right? If you protect six. And so if you protect six and you protect Stahl instead of Coil, then Coil's eligible. Howell is eligible. And then that means...
I don't know. You might even take a chance leaving Stahl open out there.
Sure. You certainly could, but this guy just scored 28 goals. You're missing a top six center. Do you have that guy to replace in the system? I would argue you don't.
But you got picks from around the league as well, too. You know, it depends what else is out there.
Totally agree with you. And so they have to choose between seven forwards and six forwards to protect, right? And
did they decide if, is it everybody has to just reveal all theirs at the same time? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I think there'll be a deadline.
I think there was a thing where you don't have to reveal who was actually exposed.
They talked about that, and now that they've said that they will reveal it because there was so much public pushback because it's a relevant thing, right? Every fan base.
But all teams have to do it at the same time.
Yeah, there'll
be
a deadline, right? Yeah. And so then the deadline will take place before the draft. It'll be revealed. And then the other thing is every fan base is invested.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because you're like, which one of our guys? And then you watch this expansion draft. And so it's a business, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so the argument, though, if you protect six forwards, then you can protect four defensemen. And so Suter's automatically. And then you would protect Spurgeon. You would protect Dumba. And then you can protect a fourth. And then whether that's Brodin, whether that's Scandella, whether that's, I mean, that you get what I'm saying? If you protect seven forwards, let's say Pominville wouldn't waive. Then you can only protect three defensemen, that Suter, that Spurgeon, and Dumba. And
this sounds like a decision for a GM.
Yes. But
that's tough.
All of that is really relevant. And the reason it comes up with Greenway is if Charlie Coyle's selected, then you're missing your big right winger.
Yeah.
And then Greenway is a big right winger. And then you have Alex Tuck, and he's a big right winger. And they all kind of fit that category.
Right. All right, boys. I think we got a show.
Hear that?
I think we gotta wrap this up.
I think so.
We've gone a little over.
I think that's Twitter talk at the very least.
Okay.
And then some.
And then some.
Which is good. I like
it. Whoa. Stamp out of nowhere. I love it.
Well, just wrapping us up.
Oh.
I feel like this episode ended long-winded. You know, I was here, and it was always destined to be that.
Wrap it up, G. B.
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 B. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Grandmaster B.
No.
Wrap it up, B.
Grandmaster B. Bud
Mary
Bundy.
Children. Yeah.
Love it.
Grandmaster B. Yeah. Right.
Love it.
Yeah. That's where I was going.
Anyway, Tony, where can people find what you're up to?
Literally, I'm only on Twitter, and I'm not on Twitter very much. My hashtag, or my at, is Tony Dean, all one word, with HB at the end. So Tony Dean HB is where you can find me.
All right. I mean, I know you've been around forever. Our first, I think we consider you our first official guest.
Absolutely.
Because we're the first... You're the first one we convinced to come down here and
come down to our hole.
Come down to our hole.
If you guys keep going, this is gonna be, he's going to be our last
one. Hilarious. First official guest and then ruined the podcast. What a jerk.
First and last guest. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
Just search for Nostracanius, and you can probably find me somewhere.
All right, Jive.
Yeah, I'm at Jive Midnight on Twitter.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at AngryFinn. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inTheBox. If you got questions, send us those tweets, #3ITB. We'll probably read them on the show. We might blow through them really quickly or not understand them because we're dumb. But, you know, that's what we do. You can go and check out our podcast, 3inTheBox.com, iTunes, Google Play Store.
I use Pocket Cast, and Pocket I can find Cast. This on there.
You do a search in your favorite podcast player.
You'll Podcast Addict.
Anyway, that's it for the show. Thanks, everyone.
All right.
All right.
Just over an hour and a half.
I know we need to move on, but I can still talk about this.